The unshakable peace. John 14:27. Let me read it. These are the words of Jesus. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let me just pause. The world has a peace that it can give, or Jesus wouldn't have said that. The world, not as the world gives. There are lots of things that will bring peace. I remember in the Seinfeld episode about Serenity Now. Right? Serenity Now, Serenity Now. And he just kept repeating it, Serenity Now, Serenity Now. But it got worse and worse the more he shared that. I know people meditate and people do exercises and different things. And I'm sure it does some good somewhere, somehow, because people wouldn't do it otherwise. But it's not what Jesus said. It's not as the world gives. The whatever peace the world can give, it's not that. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. In the first service, I was telling folks that just yesterday I was walking down the street here, and I was thinking of all the times that I'd been anxious. You know, it must be a million times maybe, I don't know, in your lifetime. Times when I was scared, or maybe not scared, but yeah, maybe scared, but just fearful and anxious, and I didn't sleep well because I was worried, I was thinking about things, and I thought I was meditating, and Val said I was just, wasn't meditating, I was just kind of caught up in it, and so I said, well, no, I think I was meditating. No, you were frowning. You weren't meditating, you were frowning, but all of those things, like over the years, where I wasn't sure how that was going to work out and that was going to work out, thousands of times of having to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not at peace. I'm feeling this lack of peace. And so to be able to pour my heart out to the Lord, so I would be able to say with Jesus, so my heart is not troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So one thing we know about the peace of Jesus, that it is not the absence of conflict, which is basically a worldly explanation, right? Peace, the absence of conflict. But it's not the absence of conflict, it's the addition of something more. It's the addition of something new that will come to us as the promise of the Lord. I give you my peace. Wow, then if he's going to give that, then I want to appropriate it to my life. The peace of Christ, the unshakable peace, that once I have yielded myself to the Lord, I can anticipate great things happening as I trust him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, the writer said, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot and without blemish. And his great little phrase, and at peace. Oh, how many times you've been in someone's home, or I've been in somebody's home, and there was the absence of peace, and they were not at peace. There was conflict with mom and dad. There was conflict with the children. There was conflict on every level. There was conflict in the marriage, and they weren't at peace. See, this, what we're talking about, is not an airy-fairy thing. This is bedrock. This is tangible. You can rest on this. You can lean back in this. It won't let you down. It won't let you down. You see, the truth of it is, you can't have peace of mind. Because we say, well, that would give me peace of mind. I don't think you can have peace of mind unless you have something deeper than peace of mind. Something much deeper. When you have peace at the depths of your spirit, then peace of mind is a byproduct of that deeper peace. But I think that peace at the depths of your spirit is really crucial. Or you won't be a harmonized person. You'll be out of sync. And so we can say, well, someone said, would you pray for me? I just don't have any peace. So we would go and pray with you. But if there's conflict going in of, I'm just making some things up, but unforgiveness, resentments, roots of bitterness, unfinished things, stuff, bags full of secrets, all kinds of angers and frustrations and irritations, and it's stored up in there and it's churning around in some way. I don't know, I'm not a psychologist, but I know how these things work, that there must be peace in my spirit before there can be peace in my circumstances. So when you have peace at the depth of your spirit, then there's an afterflow. It's just a beautiful thing, actually. So you can't have peace of mind if there's conflict in your spirit. So here this morning, we've all come with various things that we bring, and we're all basically the same, probably in most ways. But if there's conflict, only I can be honest about myself. If I've got conflict with Val, or I got conflict with a board member, or I got conflict with somebody in the church or my neighbor, and I'm kind of churning inside and say, well, unless I'm willing to give up my resentments, I don't think I will feel the peace. I'll just be doing serenity now, but I won't really have the victory that I need to have. There must be peace in the essential you, the essential me. Otherwise, there's this difference. You and I, in our essential makeup, must be harmonized people. So what's happening inside is also lined up with what's happening in my world. If I've got this thing, I'm mad at this, or I've never dealt with that, never gone to that person, well then that will be just a real, real problem. It'll haunt you. You won't get the victory on it the way the Lord wants you to. Peace is not our quest, but it's the byproduct of my relationship with the Lord and with people. So any peace that's based on mental tricks, right? It'll last for a while, but it won't get down to when the real stuff happens. You won't have peace in your heart. It will let you down. Mental tricks will let you down. Any psychological tricks will get you down. We must deal in reality and to say, Lord, I'm yielding myself to you, and I'm casting off these things that I'm going to go to that person. I'm going to say, look, I'm sorry, or whatever else you need to do, right? But I'm going to get rid of this stuff so that what's happening in the inside works on my behalf. And I want it to work on my behalf too. So John 16:33, Jesus said, I have said these things to you that in me, and perhaps only in him, in me, you may have peace. It's his will for you. It's his will for me. When you come in this door, there should be a sense of peace in here. Shouldn't there? I think so. Should be a sense of peace. We say, wow, I just feel the peace of the Lord here. You know, when you walk into a home and you say, yikes, I don't know what this is, but it's not the peace of Jesus. There's conflict and tensions and unhappiness and accusations perhaps. And so the peace that Jesus gives, I think it's not pretend. It really is real. Say, oh, you can go and sit in a cathedral if you want, but how long are you going to do that? How often are you going to be able to do that? If I could just sit in a cathedral. Right? Oh, I just love it. If I could just sit in a cathedral. Well, I've sat in those cathedrals. They're a short-lived piece. Right? As soon as the organ piece is done, it's pretty well over. Just a big cold building. But I get it. I mean, I get it when people like the tranquility of something, and I'm not to put that down. It's good for all. But it can't go the distance. That's my point. You can't finish well with that. Jesus said, I said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, this is a guarantee now, you will have tribulation. You will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Whoever said that but this man? Jesus is the only one who's probably ever said that. Who can say, what religious leader could ever stand up and say, I have overcome the world? This one can. Jesus can. So whatever the world would try to do to me, to thwart me and to frustrate me and bring me into anxiety, fears, conflicts, problems, unhappiness. I was reading, or maybe somebody said it to me, so I'm not sure, but there was McLean's magazine did this thing on teen suicide, and the huge, gigantic increase in young people taking their lives. Well, one thing we know, without knowing anything else, is that there was an absence of peace. there was something, you know, churning and troubling to the final point, the person could not find any reason to live. And they do themselves in. And so, in the world, that's what happens in the world, doesn't it? That's what happens. You know, you can, you'll have tribulation. It will come. There'll be setbacks, there'll be reversals, there'll be problems from time to time. It's always going to be there. But Jesus said, take heart. Don't worry about that, because he said, I've overcome the world and I'm giving you a peace that it will really work in your life. It will really genuinely have a bearing in your life. I think a prayer often comes in handy. Here's one. All that I am and all that I hope to be, I place lovingly in the hands of my Father in heaven. I think there's a place where you say, Lord, I don't think I can handle this. I'm stressed. I'm worried. I'm bothered. I'm concerned. I'm upset. Whatever it would be. But when you are able to say, all that I am, all I'm going to be, Lord, I don't know how this is all going to work out, but something has to change here. And so by that, you then know full well that which is for my best and for my good, I say, Lord, I don't know. I just give myself to you, knowing that this is going to work out somehow, some way. It's going to come unto me, and no power on earth can prevent it once you yield it to the Lord. Because half the time, I haven't yielded it to the Lord. When we say this is the great Christian prayer or great Christian expression, I have heard this so many times, but it is absolutely wonderful. Here's that phrase when somebody says, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? That's the, and because we usually haven't. So we're carrying the stress and we're carrying the frustration and we're carrying the worry and we're carrying the fears and the things that go bump in the night. What about nighttime? Isn't it weird at night? Things that in the morning, I don't even know why I was worried. I didn't even feel worried in the morning. I said, what was that about? Just life, I guess. Nothing can stop once I've prayed about it. Because in our prayer, it's not, oh, Lord, help me not to worry. We must cast our care upon the Lord. That's an experience. That's what something you do. And then when we say, have you prayed about it? In other words, are you still carrying the worry and the stress and the frustration, or have you prayed about it? Funny, on a little level, when we were in England in May and June, Simon and Sophie took us to the airport, which we were grateful for. But you know, they did something. I don't think they planned on it or thought about it. But that day, Val and I were stressed, not just about getting there. We hadn't slept so well, and we were anxious and wondering about this and that and the other. And just before they said goodbye to us, they said, let's pray. And they prayed a simple prayer that lasted us the whole trip. I'm telling you, we still said, remember when they prayed for us? For whatever they did, the peace of the Lord just settled right on us. And then we were now looking forward to everything. You know, we weren't wondering how that was going to work, this is going to work out. What about that wedding we're supposed to be, you know, all these things. And we didn't, it was because there was an impartation. When he said, Lord, let the peace of Christ be upon Ona, be upon Val. It wasn't just a goobly gook. It wasn't just kind of abracadabra, shazam, you know. It wasn't like that. It's a prayer that had substance because it's the peace that Jesus wanted to give us if we would receive it. And we receive it because we had a wonderful time. It's a great trip. So being secure in God is always the best security. When you have unshakable peace, that things come, as Jesus said they will come, tribulation will come, it just comes. And we all know that. It comes in the office, it comes in churches, it comes everywhere. But being secure in the Lord is the best security. When we're in Christ, we are secure. That peace that Jesus talked about is in the hour of crisis, we cast all our care. I don't think it's in your notes, but 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, I should have included it. 1 Peter 5 and 7, he says, casting all your care upon him. My translation, the Bible I'm using, it says, cast all your anxieties. Oh, I said, oh, that's great. That's great. You know, it's kind of funny, the older you get, the weirder your worries get. right? When you were younger, I mean, you had worries as a kid, right? You had lots. Everybody had worries, teenage worries, childhood worries, all kinds of things. But the older you get, the worries are even weirder. I say, what in the world am I worried about this? Some crazy thing. You know, and in the light of day, it doesn't seem such a big thing. But there's never a time when you shouldn't learn how to cast. You cast. It's not just a, now I lay me down to sleep kind of a prayer. It's, Lord, I cast all my cares upon you. I'm choosing. I'm choosing to bring that anxiety. I'm choosing to bring that stress. I'm choosing to bring that concern, that worry. Anxieties, casting them. Because he cares for you. God wants to be in your life in a real tangible way that you walk in peace. Right? We're not to be worried about the tribulation. Somebody said, what about the tribulation? I said, you know, well, I could add that to my weird fears. I guess. And I said, let's get really weird. I wonder if I'm going to actually see the Antichrist. I said, those are not peace-producing. Right? It's just bizarre. But we get people, and the next thing, you watch something on TV. You shouldn't have watched it. I shouldn't have watched it. It took away my peace for 3 days. How many of you have had things like, I say, I shouldn't have watched that thing. That was disturbing. And it robs you of peace. You must really hang on to this thing. I mean, it's worthwhile hanging on to so that nobody takes your peace. People can take your peace, right, if you let them. So, casting all our anxieties. If we have unsurrendered fears and unsurrendered anxieties and unsurrendered conflicts deep in the subconscious, because half the time I'm not conscious of things, but I don't doubt that it probably roams around somewhere in my mind, back of my mind somewhere there. But there's no sense trying to mop up anything if you still have unsurrendered fears. So one of the things when we say, have you prayed about it? We're really saying, would you like me to pray with you? And we'll bring this to Christ. Let's bring this conflict to him. Let's bring it to him. Come with me now. There's room at God's altar, right? Night and day. So we kneel together, pray together. And wow, what a wonderful way to minister to somebody. Most of us, there's not many people, whether you're coming out of a hospital room or whether you're talking to a friend in a crisis or somebody's gone through a divorce or something. When you say, listen, I can feel your stress. Would you like me to pray with you? Most people just cling to you. Please. And then what do we pray? One of the things, we may pray several things, but one thing we will pray for sure, and that is that we say, the peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ be with you. Lord, saturate their mind and their heart. Oh, that's so powerful. But we know the secret. The secret, if we have unsurrendered fears and anxieties, is that we surrender. This stuff is always on shelf level. It's never way beyond us. It's almost kind of disappointing. You say, that's the answer? I thought you'd have something more, you know, more interesting than that. Surrender? Oh, we've heard that forever. Yes, but did you surrender? Did you surrender your fears and your so you could have this unshakable peace? All right? I most of us haven't. So we turn over all we know in the conscious part of my mind. And all that I don't know. See, in the morning, you can say, Lord, today, I'm claiming your peace in my job. I'm just claiming your peace as I go about my business. Because you have a schedule. So I'm giving you some practical things. So on Monday morning, tomorrow morning, you don't head out without claiming his peace. So say, Lord, I just say, go now. I thank you for your peace. Watching over me. And all those things that I know. Right, all those things that I know. Oh, I've got to meet with those people. I've got that deal I have to close over here. That has to happen over here. This is going to happen over there. And you give that to the Lord because there are things you know you're going to face that day. But this next section is the things that, and I think that's mostly the subconscious, but you don't know that's coming. That guy bumping into your car, they didn't warn ahead of time. Right? That trouble with your teenager, it wasn't really part of the plan. We weren't thinking that was going to be a problem. Now it is. Some of those things, they're just going to rear up on you. You're just going about your life. You gave your day to the Lord, but now some things have come that are kind of fresh realities. So what I find myself praying, Lord, all those unpredictable things, those things I can't schedule and I can't for prepare myself in any way, Lord, for all those things, I pray that I will not panic if anything comes unglued that I didn't see. That thing that just comes up like that. I can't prepare myself, except that when you pray that, you will find that whatever the little crisis or a big, whatever it is, you say, it's funny. It's almost as if I didn't fall apart over that, because I already claimed it before I left the house. All the unforeseen things that there's no way on God's green earth could I know about it, I have now surrendered to Him. This stuff really is powerful. You will have a different day and different days if you can embrace this. So then the Holy Spirit will come as we yield that to Him and make us peaceful and make us calm, so that I'm part of the solution, not part of the problem, right? If everybody's falling apart, I don't want to be the person falling apart. I want to be the person who's strong in the Lord and the power of His might, right? You know what I'm saying? There's people that they're not much use, because they're consumed with the worry and the problem, instead of saying, I'm going to give that over to the Lord and let Him. So we say, heal me, Lord, and I shall be healed. Now, here's a little helpful thing. Often, the surface of my life may be disturbed, but it's the depths that count. There will be little things that happen, right? Like somebody's having a distressing moment now. There seems to be no comfort coming. So it's just something about that is so very, very powerful. That, in other words, you don't worry about it. If I came up behind you with a paper bag and you're standing out here having fellowship and I'm bang, you'll be disturbed for a few moments. But it's not the big important. You're allowed that. You're allowed to panic for a few moments. You're allowed to lose it. You're allowed to get a few moments of anger. You're allowed to. But only for a brief moment. And then, you see, because it's just, those are the surface may be disturbed, but it's just the surface. It's not the real thing. It's the depths. In the depth of my being am I experiencing the peace of Jesus. The depth of my being. That's where it needs to be. See, even the subconscious can, no doubt, be full of peace if we're fully surrendered of my fears, of my irritations, of my, et cetera, et cetera. So that brings me, of course, to Isaiah 26. This is pure vitamin C if there ever was. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace. Oh, underline that if you underline your Bible. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Two things come to mind there for me. One is the perfect peace. Can you imagine that? It's perfect, absolutely perfect peace. The Lord promised me that He will keep me in that perfect peace. If daily I yield to Him and surrender all to Him. And then whose mind is stayed on you. That's something that we learn and keep on all of our lives. You know, I'm an older Christian, but nothing changes. You're a younger Christian, nothing changes for you. We still have to do that. You have to learn, I have to learn how to be stayed. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Finding, as He promised, perfect peace and rest. That's His promise. This is the promise of the Lord. This isn't something we're making up and wishing it was true. This is the real stuff. Perfect peace. How many times I said, Lord, You said perfect peace. You said perfect peace. And I'm going to claim that. It's mine. It's mine in Jesus' name. And I have, by the way, I have watched things that I shouldn't have watched because it threw me off for days. I watched something disturbing, right? It was kind of intriguing a little bit. So I watched it, and it upset me, and it filled my heart with fear. You don't want to fill your heart with fear. And that's why we stay away from things. And if I don't, of course, then I have to repent of it. And because I wasn't, my mind was not stayed on Him. It was stayed on the stupid thing that I scared myself. It wasn't a horror film. It was just upsetting. So anything that has to do with children, anything that has to do with animals, disturbs my wife and I. You know what I'm saying? It's just so disturbing. So stayed on Him because He trusts in you, Lord, because He trusts in you. See, things fall apart because the center can't hold up. It just couldn't possibly hold up. The center must be stayed on God, on Jesus living within us. And there, now we've got something going. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, I won't elaborate too much, but simply to draw attention that we're encouraged to enter the rest. To enter the rest. I'm resting in the Lord. Not sure how that's going to work out. Hope that works out pretty good. Lord, I'm going to have to just trust that with you because I can't control any of that. Whatever happens is going to happen. So, Lord, I'm just going to rest in you. He says, strive to enter the rest. We're to be people that others can say, listen, either you seem to be different. I don't see you yelling and swearing. Something different about you. What is that? That's a great compliment. Something different about you. You seem to have a peace about you. Now, it's not a perfect expression of it, but you seem to be peaceful. I wish I had peace. Isn't that what people say? I wish I had peace like that. I wish I had your peace. Maybe you don't understand the problem. Because if you understood the problem, you wouldn't be so happy, right? You wouldn't be so at peace. And we say, no, it just must. And what do we say? We don't know what to say. He said, it must be the Lord. It must be the Lord. So entering the rest. There is a rest for the people of God. And I want to be one of those who enters into that. John 20, verse 19, Jesus again, he says, peace be with you. He's quite concerned about this for our hearts. Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. Said it again. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. Wow. And he will send us into all kinds of situations where we will have to rely on the peace of the Lord. Again, mostly through the avenue of prayer. See, if I'm not growing in peace, I'm probably not growing in life. There's something about growing in the peace of the Lord that has great power. Luke chapter 12, verse 25. Which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? So if we're going to worry, if we're going to fret and freak out, which we're good at, as I'm fairly good at it. If we're going to do that, he said, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Isn't it a huge waste? Most of the fears in my life, I can say this honestly, most of the things in my life which I was afraid of never came to pass. I mean, the event never even came. I was worried about this. I was worried about that. I was anxious about this. I was anxious about that. And finally I just get myself in a dither. That's a word you don't hear too much. It's a good British word, isn't it? Dither. I get myself in a dither. So I get myself in a dither and only to find out that never even happened and that didn't happen and that didn't happen. All the things that I was afraid would happen never even happened. And I wasted the precious time and energy of my life when I thought that by worrying it, that somehow I could control it, I suppose. So obtaining the peace, it's not our blood that obtains the peace, but the blood of Jesus that whispers peace within. There's a big difference between the peace with God and the peace of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the writer says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. You see, the world is in rebellion. 7 million people in rebellion against the Lord. There's a war. Enmity is going on. And so where the writer says, or the Lord says, he said, there is no peace for the wicked. There's no peace for the wicked. There's no peace, no, until the war is over. And for us, this is a sign that the war is over. We laid down our arms of rebellion. And we said, no longer will we rebel against you. We will now yield ourselves to you and to your control. And so we have, what do we have? Peace with God. But that's different from having the peace of God. The peace of God is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here it is, and the peace, not with, but of. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will, and here's what it'll do. It will guard, or the other word is garrison. It will garrison two things, my heart and my head. That's what he says. You will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. My mind is my head, right? And my heart is where I have my emotions. And so I need something to guard my emotions. Otherwise, they go flitting every direction. It's in Christ Jesus this happens. He said he'll guard it. He'll guard your heart and your mind. Where I feel and where I think. And I could use that every day. I know you could use that every day. So what do we have? Well, we have an opportunity that we're at peace with the Lord. And by the way, at hospitals, this is often, I will say, did your uncle, did he know the Lord? And they said, I don't really know. So I end up having going up there, and you go to talk to the person, and the first thing you say, you know that you don't have very long to live. Yeah, I know that. So how is it between you and the Lord? How is it? And what we're saying is, the war still going on, or have you made peace with God through the blood of Jesus? And it's quite a moment to say, I don't know what you mean. I said, well, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you have peace with God as you go into eternity? As you go into eternity, do you have peace with God? I said, it's really important. If you don't have, I said, I would be honored to introduce you to the one who has won the victory and won the war and will now, if you'll lay down your weapons of rebellion and to trust the Lord. And so, I'm wonderful if the person says, yes, I'd like to pray with you. I'm not at peace with God, and I'm afraid of dying, and I'm afraid of these things. So it's a wonderful thing when that happens. Well, I could say more, but simply peace with God from Romans 5 and the peace of God from Philippians. Those are absolutely beautiful, powerful verses. Now, you get down to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 9. It says, in the light of that, the God of peace shall be with you. This is portable peace. It goes with me. How beautiful is that? The God of peace, the one who will garrison your heart and your mind, he will go with you. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, and the God of peace will travel with you. He'll travel with you. He'll be with you in your car. Lord, fill our car with peace and our hearts with peace. Fill our house with peace. Lord, I pray that people will sense it and feel it, experience it. So the God of peace shall be with you. Now, you know that there are two ways how to honk your car, to press your horn on your car. You knew that, right? There is the Christian honk, and there is the unchristian honk. Unfortunately, I've been on the receiving end of the Christian honk that was even louder than the non-Christian honk. One time a car stalled on Grand Boulevard coming towards Lynn Valley here, and I was driving along, and the car stalled right in the lane, so there was nowhere. So I stopped my car. There was nowhere for me to go, so I stopped in the lane too. The guy behind, the third car, I forgot to tell you about it. Me and this other guy, we're pushing the car. He said, can you give me a push here? We're just going to push it about 50 feet down here to that driveway where we can get it off the road here. So we're down there, we're pushing this car. And this person comes up behind, and they're honking. You know, is there something so important in your life? The two guys pushing, what do you want, to lift the car? Should we lift it out of your way, sir? I thought, I don't know what I thought entirely, but I need a little, for Pete's sake, I need a little peace myself after that. It was just, what was in their heart that they could see clearly that we were helping somebody in distress? I'm saying is that when you respond to life, maybe I put it this way, if you give out anger, you will live in an angry world. That's just true. If you give out anger, you will always live in an angry world. And you'll be angry. That guy was angry at us. I don't know why he would have been, but he was angry. And it wasn't a Christian response at all. Even the tone was not the right tone. It wasn't that Christian, that Linda would, that good horn that Linda would, I'm hoping she does, now that I said this, the Christian horn, but it just expresses her whole life. Right? Impatient, come on. It's like the little boy's riding with his mother, but he usually gets a ride with his father. And he's driving along, and the little boy says, Daddy, or Mommy. And Mommy says, yes. Where are all the idiots? I don't know what you mean. Well, Daddy says the roads are covered with idiots. But not when his mother drove, just when the dad drove. You see, our lives, peaceful lives, casting off anger where we need to, breaking the strongholds of anger and frustration, and say, Lord, I need to claim your peace, and I need to get rid of my anger, because it never brings forth the right things. Never, never, never. And how wonderful to live in peace. Right? Not there'll be moments, but I mean generally that people say, there's a sweetness that comes from your life. It's because you have dealt with the stuff that's in your life that would hinder the peace of the Lord. I'll close with this. This was from E. Stanley Jones. He says, the love of God invades me. The peace of God pervades me. The will of God persuades me, and I am wholly His. That's the secret. I claim that, the invasion, the persuasion, and I'm wholly His. Lord, may I walk in your peace, and may we be able to bless people. Look for opportunities to bless people. Oh, it's so fantastic. I remember Eugene Harder. If anybody knew how to bless people, he sure did. He would take a cold-hearted person, and by the time he was finished praying there and weeping, just weeping, he would pray the peace of Jesus over people. And I've always told him, I said, that is a great thing I've learned from you, is to pray blessings on people. This is an unshakable peace. That's what he said. Jesus said, I give my peace unto you, unto all of us here. So let me ask a closing question. How is it with you? Are you living in peace? Would other people say that? Would your wife? Would your husband? Would your kids? Would the people at work? Do they, when you come to work, do you bring peace with you? Or do you bring conflict? Right? Do you? Is the road full of idiots? Or are there some pretty other nice people on the road, even though they're going a little slow? Right? These are the things. This is practical Christianity. But the last verse in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 talks about the Almighty God, and then talks about the Prince of Peace. Christmas is about the Prince of Peace coming. He hasn't set up his kingdom yet, so it's not perfected, it's not finished. But he's called the Prince of Peace. If Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the Almighty God, if that's what he is, then I must yield to him and say, oh, Prince of Peace, rule in my life. Rule in my life that I bring peace where I go and not trouble and conflict. And when I get injured or hurt, that I'll deal with it quickly. There's the thing. We deal with it quickly. So stand with me, if you would, please, as we close. Thanks, Rex. Yeah, you know, this is what the Christian life is really all about. It's about having Christ work in your life. This can't be just some theory, right? It can't just be some cheery little thought, little religious thought we can put on the fridge. Well, you can put it on the fridge if you want, but it's more authentic than that. I've got neighbors that I want them to know, experience the Prince of Peace. They have to see me at peace. Again, not in perfection, but that there's some reality for them. If I don't have peace, if I'm distraught and all messed up. And how are they? Why would they come? You got more problems than I've got, fella. I'm not. Why would I come to your God? But our God is a God of peace. He's a God of love. There's many things we could say about him. But he wants to express himself with his peace through your life. And there's, as you know, there's a lot in the Bible about this. My peace I give to you. Wow. Wow. That's good enough, isn't it? The peace of Jesus. And so, you know what we should do this morning as we go? It's got to be a nice day. You're going to enjoy the day. But maybe as we go, you know what the Anglicans do? They pass the peace. And we could just say to one another as you go out, peace of Jesus. And you can respond, and also to you. Have I got it right? I think I got it right, haven't I? The peace of Jesus. Now, don't do it in a slapstick way. Yeah, peace of Jesus to you too, right? But peace of Jesus. Peace of Jesus. And just let the Lord. So as I close in prayer, we're going to do that. And head out to the patio. It's not raining. It's sunny. It's going to be 40 below apparently later in the week. But never mind. We have peace even about that. Bow with me, please. Lord, I thank you for all the beautiful things you want to do in our lives. And I think, Lord, as I started this sermon, I think of the millions of times I've been worried and anxious. And when I turned to you, I could feel the peace cascading over me. I pray, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters here. I pray, God, that if there's any tension, any frustration, I pray that they'll experience your beautiful peace. And they'll be able to, if they maybe came frustrated, but they'll go home full of joy, 12 baskets full. So thank you, Lord. Thank you that we're learning how to walk in you. And thank you, Lord, you're very patient with us. And you'll even teach us how to honk softer. Lord, it's very practical. So thank you just for watching over us. Lord, I thank you because of the peace of Christ. There's such a happiness that comes with that. So, Lord, cause us to be patient with people and loving with people as you would want. And thank you for assuring us that we have a peace that is unshakable. Thank you for every person in this building today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. Amen. So make sure you pass the peace as you go out today.